Good evening.
Good evening.
It seems like a year since I've seen you people. I've missed all of you. You're always my favorite people. I have good news for you. There's a power for good in the universe, and each and every one of you are part of that power. And that power, which we call God, would be incomplete without you. That power needs you. And of course, you need that power. And you will learn in this class how to use that power so that you can bring into your life the things that you want, so that you can let go of the stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice that the world demands. You will learn to be in this world, but not of this world. So with that said, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
The Gengis brought a wonderful treatment for prosperity tonight. And it's everything that we know, so I'm going to use it because it is so good. So I will do this, and you may take it for yourselves in the first person. And then he wonders why he's not prosperous. But I say nothing. All right. God as the source and supply is non-ending. The universe fills the space with itself. And the faces I see are really God looking at God. So I see God in each face in space and know the sameness of our oneness. It is all divine mind. So I speak from this shared truth of knowing that the well is bottomless and the cup is always full. I always have what I need and my heart's desires are available by merely requesting them. So I do that now. I call forth the blessed good health that makes my journey easy. I choose a peaceful mind that assures clear thinking and wisdom. I choose fabulous, nourishing, and supportive relationships, for joy is my destiny. I choose wealth beyond borders, for I choose to give as mightily as I receive. And of course, I am receptive to receive my gifts with a heart and mind filled with great gratitude. So I release all concern, worry, challenge, and negativity, for my vessel is cleansed to receive my joyful prosperity. I declare my worthiness and let God do the work of these words. I receive my blessings now, and so it is. That's a fabulous treatment. I will have this made for each and every one of you, and I'll hand it out next week. I'm very impressed with, I declare my worthiness, and let God do the work of these words. We're going to go back to basics tonight. And when I say basics, that is one of the basics. So many people here are doing affirmations. Everyone, I should be doing an affirmation. And you're doing treatment work. But you're putting sometimes too much effort into it. And you're putting yourself into it instead of allowing God to do it. I don't know how many times I tell you, I am the Fun and Entertainment Committee. God is the ways and means. I do not tamper with the Ways and Means Committee. I let God do its work. This is the idea of planting the tomato seed. You plant the tomato seed in the ground, knowing that it is going to grow. You can give it water, you can fertilize it, you can do everything. But you don't go out every minute and pull it up and see, oh, does it have a root now? Oh, no root. And that's what you do with your treatments and affirmations. Before they can take root or anything, you're uprooting them. And you uproot them with what? With your negations, with your negativity, with your impatience. When you do a treatment, you let that go. You do not have to do it over and over and over. When somebody asks me to do a treatment for health, I do it once. Do you think I have to do it several times to remind God? You think God's forgotten? No. Some people think that I spend 24 hours a day doing this treatment work for them. And the next day I do it again. When I say I'll do it for 30 days, I will do it for 30 days, but not around the clock. Not around the clock. You can call Unity, you know, which is one of my favorite places, and they'll pray for you for 30 days. And they pray around the clock, but not just for you, for everybody. For everybody. So you have to know that when you do an affirmation, when you do a treatment, that it has gone someplace and has done something. When you mail a letter and you put it in the box, you absolutely believe that it's going to get where it's going. You don't reach in the box the next day and say, oh, is it still in there? Did it get there yet? You have complete faith in that. When you do a treatment and you ask the universe for something, let it alone. You have to know that it's already done, that you don't have to tamper with it, you don't have to effort with it. As Emerson said, you must learn to get your bloated nothingness out of the way. You keep thinking that you can outthink God, that you can outthink the universe. Stop doing that to yourself. You'll get nowhere with that. And you can still consider yourself intelligent. You see, that's what most people, they want you to know that they're intelligent. And you don't have to be. This has very little to do with intelligence. It has to do with knowing. It has to do with believing. There is the key. This whole teaching is based on the one idea that it is done unto you as you believe. And you have heard that all your life. And you say you believe that. But then you ask the universe or God for something and you sit around worrying. Did it really work? I wonder if I did that right. Maybe I did step two before I did step one. Maybe I got that all mixed up. No. You can talk to God anytime. As I said before, treatment is only there for your mind, to organize your mind. The mind of God is already organized. The other thing to remember is this. You can never, ever change the mind of God. The only thing you can do is change your mind. And you can learn more about this whole thing that we call God or the universe, or this law that we call the law of cause and effect. You can learn more and apply that. But you cannot change the law. You cannot change God. You can only change yourself. You cannot change somebody else. You can only change yourself. Everything that you do is done with your perspective. And as soon as you change that, your whole reality changes. But you hold on to old ideas, to old viewpoints, to old beliefs, and old thoughts. You must learn to let them go. This teaching, which always works, by the way, always works, by the way. People come into this teaching, they hear what I'm saying, they say, it makes perfect sense. And I'm going to use it. But then they remember what they heard as children, what they heard in churches. They won't let that go. You have to let the old go. In the Bible it says, you cannot put new wine into old wine sacks. You cannot take this teaching and graft it onto a belief that you already have. And the belief that you already have usually is God someplace else. And God will only do something nice for me if I'm good. Goodness has nothing to do with it. Goodness has nothing to do with it. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust exactly alike. This is why we say God does not show favorites. So you have to get rid of those concepts. You start to build a whole new idea for yourself of what God is. And let go of the childish idea that you had that God was a spiritual father with a white beard somewhere in the sky, floating around, living in a city that they called heaven that happened to have golden streets out and a pearly gate. That is a bunch of twaddle people. Don't believe it. Learn to think of God as an energy source that you can use to make your life better. Look at it the same way as you would look at any other force, like electricity. Electricity is wonderful. It lights up this room, but it can also burn down this room. We can use it to cook our food, or we can use it to electrocute somebody. But it's always the same force. It hasn't changed. It's the way you're using it. And that is the way with this thing that we call God. You have to learn to use God to bring good into your life. Mm-hmm. But you're so used to using God to bring bad into your life so that you can justify the belief system that you have, that you hold within you, that this world is a struggle. That you're only here for a short time and then you die. And you either go to heaven or hell. Give up the idea that you're ever going to die. That is an impossibility. You may lose this body, but you never die. How many people in school learned that energy can neither be created nor destroyed? It merely changes form. It can be water, can be water, liquid. It can be ice. It can be steam. But it's still the same thing. So that's how you start to change your belief system. So that you can use this to bring everything that you want into your life. You cannot sit and think that you live in an abundant, prosperous universe and not have that for yourself, and not have all the money that you want for yourself. I was talking earlier, money is never the issue. People make money the issue. But if you want money and need money, somehow it comes to you. Look at the government. It keeps running and says it has no money. Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. So give up that idea that money is the issue. I heard over on this side of the room earlier this evening that once you give up the idea that you're working for money, money will come to you. You have to work for joy. You have to work for pleasure. You have to work for service. Now, that does not mean you have to get down and scrub the floors and do all that kind of stuff. Every time you mention service, somebody thinks, oh, my God, now I'm going to have to be the maid. That does not mean that at all. That means service means giving of something, giving yourself to somebody or to something so that you're serving this universe, not serving God. You can say serving God if you wish. That doesn't impress God to say, oh, I'm serving God. You know, that doesn't affect God in the least. It affects you. You see, you have to give up the idea that you can affect God in any way. God is never affected. If God was affected, this universe would be in chaos all the time. It would be in chaos all the time. So give up that idea. So go back to the basics. Somebody over here, won't mention her name, she's wearing red. Said, oh, I could be in another class if we're going to do the basics.
Oh, come on, Dallas.
You know what we fail to do? You have to get the basics down first. And you may have to go back over them again and again and again till you learn that. But everyone is in such a hurry to get somewhere that they miss half the stuff. If a new book comes out, everyone rushes to get that new book because that new book's going to tell you something, and therein lies the answer that you've been looking for. Now, many people have stacks and stacks of books in front of them. They've read all these books. They couldn't demonstrate if the world came to an end. But they've read all that stuff. You can demonstrate when you absolutely believe it. When you absolutely know. And how do you do that? When I say that, I can see people get discussed. Just make up your mind. Make up your mind to believe. Now, isn't that simple? You don't have to take 10 years. You don't have to take anything. Make up your mind. Give yourself permission. Say, Jesus, sounds good. I think I'll give it a try. And just try it. That's all belief is. When I said earlier, it's always done unto you as you believe. It's not done unto you as I believe. And each and every one of us believes something differently. Because we're each individualized expression of this one mind. But you have to believe in yourself enough and in this power enough to have this work for you. And it will work for you each and every time you apply it. But apply it and then let it go. Remember, when you mail a letter, you let that go and it arrives where it's supposed to go. You do a treatment. It goes out into the universe. It collects all that is needed for that demonstration and comes back to you. Ernest Holmes said, in the Science of Mind book that he wrote, when you make a treatment, you must realize that whatever is needed to bring that treatment to demonstration is on its way to you now, even if the thing that you need is in the darkest, deepest part of Africa. As soon as you do that treatment, you have to know that that is on its way to you. That's how you believe. You just do it. But think of that. Do a treatment. Think, when do I? Well, here it's coming to me. But it's collecting itself. You know, we use the word creation, that we're always creating something. All we're doing is rearranging. Everything's already created. Everything is already here. We just take and rearrange it into a new creation. There's no more new molecules. Does everyone realize that nothing enters our atmosphere? That nothing new, that we're drinking the same water that the dinosaurs drank? There's nothing new here. We just take the same thing and we do something else with it. What are you thinking? That's why the water's so dirty?
No, I just didn't know that.
You didn't know that? I know. But it's true. You know, people think that something new is coming into it. Nothing new is coming. It's already here. It's already done. So you have to know that part of it. So that you build your own belief systems.
I will say that, kind of just to back up what you said about doing a treatment and letting it go, all the things that I had been working on prior to, all year long. So I went on a trip to Texas, and I was out in the country, and it's a beautiful, surreal place. And I kind of just was in a different vibrational space. Let go of all this stuff. Came back, most of all the projects are here. You know, they've come into form, they manifested without me. So I think there's a specific way to let go of things. You have to do something else. I mean, you know, besides just thinking about
it. And what did you do? You moved your loaded nothingness out of the way, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get in here and get working and all, you get very bloated.
I get over...
Over bloated.
Over focused.
You have to let that go, and that's wonderful. Take a mental vacation.
Yeah.
Walk out. How many people can't get anything? You take a walk around the block when you come back. You'll have what you need. How many people ask before they go to bed for the answer when they wake up in the morning? When you wake up in the morning, the answer is there. Try that with anything that you have. The answer will be there. Now, don't think about it during the night. You go to sleep, and you have to know. When I go to sleep at nighttime, I happen to realize that that's the time that my body is healing itself. And I absolutely believe that there are all kinds of energies going on around me, working on my body all night long, fixing and repairing and renewing and doing all that. And then I wake up feeling good in the morning. But you believe, you have to believe that stuff. You see. What is the most wonderful gift that you were given when you came to this plane of action? It's your imagination. It's your imagination. Humans are the only form of life on this plane of action that has an imagination. A dog, cat, or horse does not have an imagination. Yours do. Well, there you go. But if they did, they picked it up from you. You're just mirroring something back. But you have to use your imagination with this whole thing. Use this mind, and when the ego mind says, oh, that's not right, you know, there is no such thing as God. There is no such thing as energy. If you really want something, you have to get out and work for it. Well, you do have to work. But you don't have to work the way people think they have to work. You know. Remember, metaphysically, to sweat your brow means to think. Does not mean to work till you perspire and get all smelly. It means to think. Think. Use your imagination. Use your imagination. How many people are doing the mental equivalent? This is my new one. I started to read it yesterday. And I underline. I'm just going to read the underlining parts. Our search for God and the understanding of God's nature. That is what we're concerned about. We may think we're concerned about something else, but we always want to have an understanding of God. We want to know what the hell we're doing here. Why are we all here going through all this when we know at the end we're going into the ground? Think of that. You're not going into the ground. We're here to practice and to demonstrate the presence of God. That's what we're here for. So, we practice the presence of God by seeing God everywhere, our treatment tonight, in all things, all people, despite the appearance to the contrary. And therein lies the rub, because we always see the appearance and say, oh, that can't be. That person's entirely too mean and ugly to be God. You have to see God anywhere. I knew a lady, I can't remember her name now, but she was in unity. She was in her 80s. And she said that was the hardest concept for her, to look at somebody. And she said, you know, I came to the point I could look at them and say, even though you're acting like a rotten son of a bitch right now, I can see the God in you. We stop, don't we? As soon as they start to act like that rotten person, we stop there and judge by that appearance instead of going deeper and know that that person has to be God. You cannot say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And then when you meet somebody, say, well, they're not God. That can't be. You can't do that to yourself. And it may be difficult. And as I say, learn to love everybody. Doesn't mean you have to take them to lunch. You don't even have to be in the same room or the same state with them. In fact, sometimes it's easier when they live somewhere else. But you have to love them and you have to see the God in them and just let them go. We know that we live in what? We live in a mental world. Now here's the little thing here. And to know this is the key to life. To know that you live in a mental world is the key to life. Everything that you see, everything that you do, everything that's in your life, is in your life because of your thinking. And although that table looks like a piece of material, it was a mental thought before it ever became a table. So you have to realize that you're always working with mind. You're not working with something outside of mind. And what mind are we working with?
The mind of God.
You're working with your own mind, which happens to be the mind of God. Didn't I just tell you can't change the mind of God?
You can't change it, but aren't we trying to use the mind of God?
We're always using the mind of God. But you have to change your mind. You have to take what we call the finite mind up to the infinite. But everyone wants to bring the infinite down to the finite. And it will not work. It will not work. You have to learn to think God thoughts after it. You have to learn to do that. And it's quite easy. Just sit around and think, I wonder what God would think about this. You know, you may get it right, you may not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because there's no such thing as right and wrong, people. Only the human mind knows that. Whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind. I'm going to read that again. Whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind. I think it was Henry David Thoreau who said, "What a man thinks about all day long, he becomes. What a man thinks about all day long, he becomes." So if you sit and think of your job, of your career, of your money, of your success, you will get that. But people sit around, usually, thinking how bad off they are, and thinking of what they don't have in their lives. You have to think of what you have in your life. The more you think about what you have in your life, the more you're going to get. Till you have that much in your life, you'll never think of what you don't have in your life. Very easy concept, but difficult sometimes for people to do, because the appearance is always going to be lack and limitation. But you cannot say, "I live in a prosperous, abundant universe," and believe in lack and limitation. And when you see the appearance of lack and limitation, you have to realize that that is just a fact. It is not the truth. It is not the truth of being. And if you're not causing that lack and limitation, somebody else is causing that lack and limitation. Get away from that situation. Get away from that person. Stay away from people who talk lack and limitation. Stay away from people who talk bad health. Choose the people that you want in your life by the way they're thinking, so that they're always lifting you up instead of tearing you down. I will not allow that in my life, and I certainly don't allow it in my home. I never allow anyone to say anything negative in my home, because I know that every piece of furniture, every rug, everything, every wall absorbs that. And it becomes a thought atmosphere. How many people walk into some place, into a building, into something, and that you can immediately tell you can't be there? The negativity is too much for you. See, we have to learn to become sensitive. But not that sensitive where you have to hide under the covers all day long. If you think you're that sensitive that you have to hide under the covers all day long, you have to do treatment work. You have to do treatment work. You have to do an affirmation. Do you remember my affirmation that I do every morning of my life? I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. And then I get up and start my day. But I always affirm that that is with me, and that I have the strength to go through the day, so that anything that comes at me, I can push away. That I do not have to go down the tube, so to speak, nor do I ever join the other people. If we rid our minds of the mental equivalent, then they must go. So we have to rid our minds, get rid of the thinking. Remember, we can only think one thought at a time. The mind, the ego mind, would like to tell you that you're thinking several different things at one time to keep you in confusion. I'm telling you that's an impossibility. The illusion is that you're doing that. But that is not the truth. You can only think one thought at a time. But people get confused and they get on that little spinning wheel. And they let that wheel carry them around and around and around. Don't get on the wheel. Rid yourself of those thoughts. And know always that you're being taken care of. Know always that you're being taken care of. How many people are still writing God bless and multiply this money quickly on their checks? Please do that, everyone. I started that 30 some years ago. I've never run out of money. I've been out of work. I've been here, there, everywhere. But money always seems to be coming to me, which is another wonderful affirmation. Money is always freely circulating in my life. And I always have a divine surplus. We did a meditation last week to get ready for the new year, to rid ourselves for some things. And if you see meditation is, and that was a guided meditation, is very easy. Just become still and do it for yourselves. And one of the meditations I will recommend is find out who's behind you. When I say that, more than 30 years ago, I was at a class with my friend Joyce Reynolds. Remember, she's the one that youths herself. And we were doing a meditation. And in that meditation, I went to a completely surrealistic landscape. And I was standing on a projection, like rock, sticking out over this unusual landscape. And all of a sudden, I felt behind me hands on my shoulder. And I knew right away what it was. I did not turn around, but I could sense it was the most beautiful being in the world. Anyway, that being said to me, Dallas, from now on, I'm going to take care of you. Because I'm much better at it than you are. And I want you to just have fun. From that day on, I've just devoted myself to joy and fun, laughter. My life worked. Fun and entertainment. Ways and means. Do it for yourselves. Find out how well, you are being taken care of all the time. And people know that. And they may see it in one instant in their life and think, oh, well, I had that. I was helped out of that situation. Now, really, this thing we call God wants you to have it all and wants you to have it all the time. Not just when you're down in the dumps, when you're practically bankrupt and then the money comes, when you're very sick and all of a sudden you get well. These are the moments I'm talking about. That people, most people have one of those moments. But you can have those moments all the time. You have to know that you're always being taken care of. If you think you're not being taken care of, just drive on the freeway. And what do I mean by that? You have to be being taken care of. You have to know that there's a higher intelligence, that there's a mind doing something, because no one is paying attention on the freeway. They're reading a book, they're shaving, they're putting on their eye makeup, they're looking this way and that way. And if this weren't true, we'd have thousands and thousands of accidents every day. And when we do have those things that we call accidents, it's not because somebody wasn't paying attention. It's because somebody didn't like themselves for an instant or so, and they got hit. You have to like yourself every minute. Every minute. Is that so difficult? Why is that so difficult for people? Don't do that to yourself. Give up that idea. And start to have a love affair with yourself. Instead of running out looking for one. Stay at home and have one. It's wonderful. And you'll like yourself more and more. Life will get better and better. The whole thing will work out for you. But we don't believe that. Learn to make that one of your beliefs. You build the mental equivalent by thinking quietly, consistently, and persistently of the kind of thing you want. Thinking has two qualities: clarity or definiteness, and interest. Remember, you have to get interested in what you want. And you have to be clear on what you want. I want to be an actor. Now get interested in that. Find out how you can do that. Sign up for classes. Go to movies. Go to plays. Get the interest in yourself going. And in no time, you'll be what you want. I had a young man the other week, couldn't figure something out. I said, well, why don't you say something like I am, which happens to be the most powerful statement that you can make. And that's where people get into trouble, because they say, I am sick. Yeah. Never say that. You can say, I'm having a challenge right now. But what you say is, I am always whole, complete, and perfect. The health of God is running through me right here and right now. So when you make an affirmation, then you must do something, or a treatment, you must do something. Remember, you've heard this from day one, God helps those who help themselves. That does not mean that you become shoplifters. God helps those who help themselves. You make a treatment. Years ago, I made a treatment, I am a reader. Now, I didn't sit down after that and never pick up a book. I picked up a book and 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 a book. So I had hundreds of books. And I gave all those books away. And now I have hundreds of books again. I am a reader. Was I when I started? No. But I became that. I am successful. Now you can't just sit down and say I'm successful and then not do anything. We have a saying, treat and move your feet. You have to do something. And when you're doing that, you have to know that there's somebody behind you helping you along. Always going to pick you up. Always going to take you in the right direction. How many people remember the three things? I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. So when you think things aren't happening for you, you remember those things. And you build that faith. And it will demonstrate for you. How many people here realize that they are the ones that each and every one of us decided to come here? That it wasn't by chance or accident because our parents did something. That helped. But we only come through our parents to come to this plane of action. They're just a portal. And yes, we learn to love them because they're the same flesh that we are from. But we are the ones who decided. And we came through those parents because they had something to give us. And we had something to give them. This is the way you build belief in a system, in a new system. Instead of thinking, I was an accident. I wasn't planned. My parents didn't really want me. Doesn't matter. You were the one who decided to come here. And now that you're here, know that you have everything to be successful, regardless of what the outside world tells you, regardless if you think you were born on the wrong side of the track, that you came from the wrong parents, that it's heredity. I don't believe in heredity. When I say I don't believe in heredity, I realize that heredity is there. But you must realize that heredity is what we call secondary causation. God is always first cause. And when you take secondary causation and make it first cause, then it plays out. If you think it's all heredity, it will be all heredity. But you have to go back a step and know that first cause is always God. And now, lo and behold, what have they proven? We can change our DNA. It's a scientific fact now. We know that. Of course, I'm not going to train you in that, you know. You've got to learn to do that yourself. Now, how do you think you would learn to do that?
Imagination.
That's it. You use your imagination. You sit down and see the spirals of DNA. And you change them the way you want to change them. The body must always follow the mind. The body must always follow the mind. If that were not true, your legs would get up and walk away from you. But they listen to your mind, don't they? So, you must put interest into it. That's what we talk about, warmth of feeling and so forth. Remember when I said it's all right to stand your foot and pound your hand and say, damn it, I want it now? It's all right to do that because you're getting emotions going, you're getting a warmth going, you're getting feelings gone. This whole thing is done with feelings, people. And we use thoughts to produce those feelings. Feelings. Always follows thought. Feeling always follows thought. How many actors do we have in here who have to know that? If you're acting, you have to think first. And then the feeling comes. I think there's one acting technique, isn't it, called the Meisner technique, where you just keep doing that till a feeling comes. But you have to think. And then feeling. Then feeling. So you learn to feel it. Joyce Reynolds, the one I told you about, used to say, you have to use your feeling from here and throw out a hook and hook it. Hook what you want and then pull it back into you. Hook what you want. You know. Biblically and metaphysically, do you remember the story of the nets? On this side, they were casting them nothing, nothing, nothing. Cast your nets in another direction. They cast them to the other side in there that was loaded with fish. What does that mean? Change your mind. If it's not working over here and nothing's happening, cast your net someplace else. Change your mind. It's there. You're not looking at it right. Do you remember the other example? If I'm sitting here on that chair, in this chair, and over here is nothing but garbage, and over there is beautiful flowers and so forth, which one am I going to choose to look at? You know? But what do? We go, don't look at that stuff. Look at what you want to see and make it multiply for you. Make it multiply for you so that that garden starts to grow and it grows right around there and takes and gets rid of that garbage. Change your mind. Remember, clarity and interest are the two poles. You have to have them. It's polarity. And it always takes two things to make a third. Two things to make a third, always. And that's the idea of Trinity and so forth. When you talk in religion, there's always Trinity going on. It takes two things to make a third. In the building of thought, the two poles are clarity of thought and warmth of feeling. Clarity of thought and warmth of feeling. 99 times in 100, the reason metaphysical students do not demonstrate is that they lack the feeling in their treatment. Remember how many times I touched people? You have to get excited. You have to say, life is sizzling through me. You know, and then you start to sizzle. You start to move. You start to do something. How many people know this? Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. How many actors in here said all of a sudden to themselves at a rehearsal or whatever you go to, audition, thank you, couldn't think of it. You decided, oh heck, I'm just going to do it. I'll just be bold and do it. And you got the job. You got the job. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold and this thing behind you will help you. They will help you. To think clearly and with feeling leads to demonstration. Because then you have built a mental equivalent. So learn to build mental equivalents for yourself. And that's just gaining knowledge to build a mental equivalent. Remember the idea, if you want a car and so forth, go get all the information about the car. Get all the literature you can. Bring it all home. Look at it. Paste it on your refrigerator. Sleep with it. I often sleep with things I want. Usually not people, but darn. But sleep with that. Take those pamphlets and sleep with them. Then go out every Saturday to different car places and say to them, I'm interested in this car and I'd like to drive it around the block. Then get in that car and feel it. Smell the leather. Smell the newness. Get the feeling. See yourself in that new car. And you'll demonstrate the new car. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's done. So you do that with everything in your life. You build a mental equivalent. You learn to change your belief systems so that what you're believing on the inside happens on the outside. Remember, this whole thing is an inside job. It's always from the inner to the outer. We use the table again. That table did not exist till somebody drew it up and thought, I want a table. Then that plan went out to a manufacturer, whatever, and lo and behold, there is the table. Same way with anything else you want. Come up with a plan. Then take that plan, drop it in that box, and know that it's done. That it's on its way. You see? That's how you build a mental equivalent. That's how you build belief in your own self. That's how you build a new belief system. The reason why the world is the way it is because people keep believing the same damn thing that their parents did. I'm here to tell you that the faith of your father is not going to help you. Didn't help him. How the do you expect it to help you? How do you expect it to help you? Get a new faith, get a new belief. And remember, if you are not demonstrating what you want, it's because your God is too small. Kick that God out and get a new God. Just give it the boot. And get a better concept, a better belief of what this is all about. And then know that you can have everything. Why? Because you're worthy, you're deserving, you're completely lovable, and you're one with the only power there is in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming tonight. There's a basket there for donations for Dallas. Dallas also has private sessions. He does hypnotherapy, private coaching, and he's really great. And thank you all for coming. There's a sign-in sheet there, too.
And Dallas, remember to bring cards.
Get cards. And if anybody here has never gotten the mental equivalent, do you have any?
Yeah.
Dallas does. Oh,
I have them. You have one. And you have yours.
Oh, yes. I have it on
I also have red envelopes.
Oh, I need red envelopes. that was.